Last month, a very important initiative kicked off on November 25th, which was the International Day to End Violence Against Women. And following that, the 16 Days of Activism to End Gender-Based Violence campaign began. And we are currently on day 14 of that campaign. And joining me now to talk about it and really discuss the issue of addressing and putting a stop to violence against women is Ann Ruddle, Community Development Manager for Nova Vita Domestic Violence Prevention Services. So thank you for joining me today, Ann.
Thank you so much for having me, Andy. I really appreciate it.
I guess to start, can you just explain what gender-based violence is and just in what different types of forms can we see it taking place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, gender-based violence is a type of abuse that women, girls, two-spirit, trans, and non-binary people are at highest risk of experiencing. It can take physical and emotional forms such as name-calling, hitting, pushing, blocking, stalking, or criminal harassment, escalating to rape, sexual assault, control, manipulation, and even isolation strategies. And when we're talking about gender-based violence, it's not something that does happen between people in romantic relationships, but it also happens in families, at work, and between friends, acquaintances, and even strangers. And it often occurs in private places between people who know each other.
And can you just talk about how prevalent this kind of violence is? And have you seen that our communities locally here have been affected by this issue as well?
Yes, absolutely. We are definitely impacted by it. So Nova Vita Domestic Violence Prevention Services has actually been serving the County of Brant and Brantford for over 40 years. And we work very closely with our sister shelter in Six Nations Territory, Gunaqwasha, Family Assault Support Services. And just prior to the pandemic, Stats Canada released startling statistics that Brantford was rated first in Ontario and fourth in Canada for police reported incidents of domestic violence. That's a significant number if you think about it in terms of intimate partner violence and gender-based violence occurrences happening in our community. And I can share with you at Nova Vita, in the last year, we have had 4,594 calls to our crisis and support line. We've seen 139 women in crisis arrive at our doorstep. We had 68 women and 57 children find safe emergency shelter in our shelter here at Nova Vita, with the average length of stay being 59 days. On top of that, 244 women received individual and group counseling to heal from the violence and abuse they've experienced. We saw over 229 women be assisted by our transitional support workers to develop safety plans, find safe, affordable housing, and transition out of an abusive relationship. We had 21 people live in our second stage transitional housing apartments. We had 51 parents supported through our Caring Families and Pathway to Healing programs. We saw 45 children under the age of six receive support and counseling through our children's program. And 247 men were helped to increase their knowledge, skills, and resources and self-awareness to develop and maintain healthy relationships. And 168 individuals who were using violence in their relationship received counseling and intervention through our PAR program. So from those numbers, as you can see, the work we're doing in the community over the past year, gender-based violence, it does impact the individuals that are experiencing harm, but it also impacts families and communities. And it places a heavy, heavy and costly burden on the health, the social, and our justice systems. And there's a number I'll share with you as well, that in 2009, it was estimated that gender-based violence had an economic cost of $7.4 billion annually and sexual violence a cost of $4.8 billion annually. But the even greater cost to all of this is what it's costing on our society and it's costing lives.
And just when looking at all those stats, and some of them are eye-jarring, are you able to see that some demographics are more affected by these issues than others?
Yes. So as we know, abuse can... It can happen to anybody, no matter of their background, their identity, or circumstances. But women and girls and gender-diverse people are at higher risk of gender-based violence. And from that, there are even those that are at even higher risk due to additional discrimination and barriers they face. And this is specifically women with disabilities, Indigenous women, racialized women, newcomers to Canada, trans and non-binary people, and women who are homeless or underhoused. And the real... One of the real things that's also an issue is that people facing abuse may not have access to services to meet their needs. They could live in remote areas, or they could have more challenges to access the services.
And just connecting this issue even more locally to the area and Six Nations specifically, and you touched on it with Indigenous women being more at risk, I guess. I think over recent years, the issue of violence against women has been spotlighted more and more. Can you just talk about how big of an issue this is surrounding Indigenous women and how important it is to address it?
Yes. So one of the big things that we'll start with is I'll share a couple of statistics that it further highlights the at-risk for Indigenous women in Canada. So World Health Organization, so we look globally, they're going to say that 1 in 3 women are going to experience physical or sexual violence in their lifetime. In Canada, we use the number 4 in 10. The next step to know about is that women are 5 times more likely than men to experience sexual assaults, and that nationally in Canada, every 48 hours, so every 2 days, a woman or girl is killed in Canada by someone they know. And then where this number jumps even further is that Indigenous women and girls are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than other women in Canada. And I believe that number jumps to 16 times more likely than white women specifically. So when we look at the murdered and missing Indigenous women's report and the calls to actions, it really is time that we pay attention to this as a community, as a province, and as a nation, and really come together to support those that are at the greatest risk.
And I guess looking at the issue as a whole, in what ways does gender-based violence affect the person experiencing it, and just how impactful can it be in a person's life?
Yeah, so I mean, the trauma we know when we experience is life-changing, and someone that is experiencing gender-based violence or intimate partner violence has long-lasting impacts, and it shapes their future and often the generations to come. And the harm that is experienced is not just limited to the individual. What's happening in the family, the children are largely impacted, which is why we have programming and support for children who have witnessed violence in their home. And that is why the core of our work at Nova Vita has been to support all members of the family and our community being impacted, because the goal at the end of the day is to break that cycle of violence so that it doesn't happen for generations to come. And the sad reality is that we will have folks come into the shelter as a mom, say just recently in the last few years, who will say, "Oh, I remember you," to one of our longest time employees, who's at I think 36 years, and they're like, "Oh, you do?" And this one woman said, "Yeah, I lived here with my mom when I was a kiddo." So we are seeing the cycle of violence repeating itself in the next generation, and we want to stop that.
And just getting into the campaign a little bit, can you give us a little insight into what the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence is?
Yes, absolutely. So 16 days of activism against gender-based violence is a campaign that is honored around the world, and it's really used as an organizing strategy for individuals and organizations to call for the prevention and the elimination of violence against women and girls. And you mentioned it kicks off on November 25th, which is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women and Girls, and it travels 16 days, ending on December 10th, which is Human Rights Day. And this year is actually marking the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it is a declaration that was passed that said that fundamental human rights should be universally protected regardless of race, color, religion, sex, language, political or other opinion, national and social origins, property, birth, or status. And we think about that, there is so much work for us to be doing, which is why these 16 days are so important.
And I know you personally participated in this campaign by going silent for 24 hours. Can you just talk about that experience and how you hope it can help address and really put an end to this issue?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. So November is a massive month for Nova Vita and for the team that I support. It's Women Abuse Prevention Month. The Ontario Association of Interval and Transitional Housing has their Wrapped Encourage campaign, where we do flag raisings around the province, and we encourage everyone to wear purple and buy the purple scarves. And then our primary awareness and fundraising campaign is called Break the Silence on Domestic Violence. And it's a campaign we started in 2020 with the idea that that for many women, living in violence is also living in silence. They feel trapped, they experience increased isolation, and they don't feel safe in their own home. They feel alone and voiceless. So instead of going silent on November 24th for 24 hours, because I actually chose not to do it this year. I chose to go silent on December 6th, which was the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. And it's the anniversary of the 1989 L'École Polytechnique de Montreal massacre. That was a date I chose to highlight, to share, raise more awareness. Because of that, every 48 hours, a woman and girl is murdered by somebody they know in Canada. And I'm a mom of a teen girl, and I want her generation to be empowered and safe, and I want them to be educated, and I want them to better understand what a healthy relationship looks like. And so there's a personal connection for me, not just for the work that I do for Nova Vita, but as moms and as women in our community, we need to foster those healthy relationships and to educate and empower for the next generation.
And just so everyone is aware, how can people donate to the campaign that yourself and Nova Vita have been participating in, and just where they can find all that info at?
Yes, thank you very much. You can actually go to our website, which is www.novavita.org. And there's a tab called Make a Difference where you choose to participate, or you can click donate, and you can make a final financial donation, whether you support the Break the Silence on Domestic Violence campaign, which is wrapping up on the 10th, or you choose to make a donation. All of those proceeds are going to directly support the vital work that we're doing in our community. Right now, there's added expenses in our shelter, just like in our households. We're seeing the added expenses happening in the shelter, and the needs for our services are escalating, and the threshold of abuse and the challenges that we're facing are higher than ever.
And we've talked about the stats and everything behind the issue. So just touching on this on a bigger scale, in what ways do you think we as a public can address this issue and really put an end to it as a society?
Yeah, thank you. That's I really appreciate you asking that. So one of the first things I think is good is pay attention when programming like the 16 days of activism shows up. It gives you a chance to focus on what's happening, and there's so much around us. It's a good way to start. So you can look at the 16 days of activism. You can follow social media pages like ours at Nova Vita Brandt. Our public education events coordinator, Jessica Palace, does an amazing job at sharing resources and information to our community to help engage and to empower you with knowledge. We spend hours on our phones. This is a really great way to start by getting educated. And if maybe there's another local agency you feel connected to, so look at what they're doing, but definitely check us out at Nova Vita Brandt. And then by doing that, you can start to listen to the stories we're sharing. You can start to learn about the causes that we are supporting, the needs that we have, and then you can make your own informed decision on how you want to act. And those are the three pillars of the campaign this year for Canada's 16 days of activism: is listen, learn, and act.
And just what types of resources are available for those in need? You touched on the work that Nova Vita does year round. Can you just detail some of the services offered by your organization and how people can get connected?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first things we always like people to know is 519-752-HELP. That is our crisis and support line. We have workers that are available 24/7 to help all members of our community who have experienced abuse, violence, or homelessness, or they know someone who is currently experiencing abuse. You can also text that number, and then we also have an online chat service. So that crisis line isn't just for somebody that's in the middle of a crisis situation, but we want to be a starting point to provide resources. Our website, www.novavita.org, is another great resource to get started on. There's actually a tab where you can see you might have a question you want to ask, and you can see if you can identify it. And we also offer regularly updated list of resources for other community partners, including something called the refrigerator door. And it is, once upon a time, it was like a booklet, but now online you can see all of the different community partners in the area that can support you. And if you're not sure where to begin, you can also call our intake coordinator and let them know what your situation is, and they will help to assess what programs and services are there to support you. Because I think in this day and age, one of our biggest obstacles seems to be system navigation, and our team does an amazing job at helping you to navigate the systems to get the support you need.
And just lastly, before we get you out of here, have you seen any positive movement within this initiative since you've become involved? And do you think we are heading in the right direction in combating gender-based violence?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad you're asking it. So we're coming off of this past fall, both the city of Brantford as well as the county of Brant have formally declared intimate partner violence and gender-based violence an epidemic. They're joining over 70 other municipalities across Ontario, as well as our federal government, to do so following the 86 recommendations of changes from the Renfrew County inquest into the deaths of Carol Culleton, Anastasia Kuzik, and Natalie Womerdam. So in total, there are 86 recommendations for change, the first to be that you declare intimate partner violence an epidemic. And then it really starts to look at how do we have oversight and accountability, system approaches, collaboration and communications across the board, where is funding needed, where is education and training needed, and to really start to look at systemic change in our communities to ensure that we can increase the amount of intervention and safety for all members of our community. So we're moving in the right direction, and it's a really positive time. So 2024 is going to be a big year.
Very well said. And I want to thank you again for doing this, Anne, and I really appreciate your time speaking on the campaign and just addressing this issue in general with me today.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much for all your time, and thanks to everyone in the community for listening. And our executive director, Natasha Dobler, had wanted to do this interview. You're actually her favorite radio station to listen to, so we're giving an extra shout out, and thanks for all you do.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Andy.